And now to share his experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Benjamin.
Do I have to do anything with this? Okay, cool. Hi, my name is Benjamin. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Benjamin.
Oh, I was like, whenever I have to do this, I'm like, I don't know how to do this. No matter how many times I have. I did it yesterday, so I don't know, which it'd been a while before that. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. For a long time, this was my home group. I haven't been here for a while, actually since it kind of moved. The first time I came, my sobriety date is February 9th, 1997. If that gives any, I don't know, any context of anything. One day at a time, I've stayed sober. It really is one day at a time. Especially over time, it's like sometimes it's really one day at a time. And I guess anyway, I used to come to this room. I first came to this room when I got sober and I was 20, and it was in a tiny little room over there. And I came here and I was like, these are not my people. I'm way too old, you know. And because at the time, I don't know why I'm starting with this, but when I first came to like young people's meetings and stuff like that, which actually became a huge part of my recovery, I just never had peers. I never hung out with anyone who was my age, and that's one of the things that, I don't know, I've been really grateful to this room for. But anyway, I'm going to talk about my story, just so you guys know that I'm an alcoholic, or, you know. But sometimes these meetings are really special to me, because it's, anyway. Because I never had a legal drink. So, anyway, I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and to like a relatively normal family, like a really normal family, actually, or seemingly really normal family, so normal that it was too normal. And there's a little bit of alcoholism here and there, skipped a generation or something like that, but I don't know, normal. But I felt, you know, like I tried to do all kinds of different things. I was like smart. I was too smart. I tried to be dumb. I tried to be, you know, all kinds of things. Sometimes when I was younger, I would like be talking and then I always felt like I crossed over some invisible line that would kind of like I'd be like da 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 da. I'd cross some invisible line and it would kind of be like, yeah, you know, I just didn't quite feel, you know, when I was younger, I was sick. I spent a lot of time in and out of the hospital. So I was like in school, out of school, you know, I was just kind of different. And then suddenly when I was about 12 or something like that, suddenly I was healthy. And I was like, I didn't really know what to do. Cause I was suddenly a normal kid. I always had an out, you know, I'd always had some reason that I was like in or out. So, and I tried to do, I don't know, I tried to do stuff, I tried to do sports, I tried to be like, tried to like find a way. And then when I was about 14 or so, I dropped acid and I found a way. And I instantly in that moment was like, this is a world I can live in. I just was like, this is a world I can do business with, this. I just, in that moment, felt like the wind was going with me, the stoplights were going with me, everything was just like, it, you know, like the speed that I was going, the world was going, and that was kind of the first, you know, and shortly after that, I don't have a long, you know, it's like, that kind of started that. When I was young, I didn't have access to alcohol. Alcohol was messy. Alcohol's later in my story, but initially that was kind of the first love. And I started, you know, smoking pot. And you know, the first time I did it once, and then the next day I did it six times. And so, you know, it was, and that just became really quickly. The escalation of my story is just like really fast. You know, I went from being like, oh, I don't like drugs. Drugs are bad. To like, these drugs are different. So, but anyway, and I think through that time, I was really looking for a spiritual solution, funny enough. But that was kind of the fun part. Like slowly, you know, like over, you know, I guess, you know, that kind of turned into like, that kind of turned into consequences, you know. I don't, when I take a drink or I take a drug, I don't know where I'll end up. I guess in that time, you know, I'm still like a teenager, I'm living at home. I don't know, I had all kinds of stories. You know, I'd always have a story, I'd always have a cover, I'd always have a this or I'd always have a that. And, you know, I started running away just because I couldn't handle my stories. And, I stopped going to school, stopped showing up. I could only sleep during the day. And it just kind of I was crushed by myself. Like, I couldn't keep track of my own story. And I was seeing a shrink at the time because I was like, oh, it's the school's fault, it's this fault, it's that, it's that. And then finally, I got sent to rehab the first time because he was like, oh, you're in danger of things like that. So I got sent to rehab when I was 15. And, I ran away. Close, actually. Funny enough, you can go to outpatient, you could go to inpatient, or you can move to Chicago. And I was like, I'll move to Chicago, but I didn't go far. So that was the first time I got sober. I got sober when I was 15. I went to rehab. And when I first got there, I came up with the brilliant, I was talking with this girl and we were trying to figure out what we could tell them that would get them to let us out. I was 15 and I wanted to be like an emancipated minor. And like the rule was that you could sign yourself out of rehab if you're 16. The first time I saw the word God in the steps, they wrestled me to the ground because I was so angry. I was so pissed off. I was so mad. Actually, I'm just remembering this now and I don't always think about this. I was so mad. Like, if people said something to me, I would start, because it's so different than who I am now. If some people said anything to me about God or anything like that, or about, etc., first time I saw the third step, I was just started screaming, and it was orderlies wrestling me to the ground and stuff like that. But, But we came up with a story that it wasn't the drugs that were the problem; it was our lives, and that if we fixed our lives, we wouldn't have to do the drugs. And this is our great escape plan. And needless to say, they didn't let me out of rehab. So, because at the time I thought the drugs were the only thing that was working for me, I went through that and I got sober. When I got out, I went to meetings. And my life got better, and that's kind of the thing with alcoholics is that when we get sober, no matter how good or bad it was when we stopped, whenever I stop drinking, whenever I go to meetings, my life gets better. And that kind of qualifies me as an alcoholic as much as anything. So, I went to, the first meeting I love this young people's meeting. The first meeting I ever went to was a young people's meeting, and I had the most time because I had 28 days, and there was another guy who'd gotten out of jail, and he had 9 months, and then all his boys had one day because he'd come back, and I'm like, y'all are, But we stayed sober. But I found people. I went to meetings. My life got better. I stayed sober and going to meetings for about a year, and then everybody's like, you've turned your life around, you've done this, you've done that, and I was like, yeah, and I stopped going to meetings, because my life got really good. I was acting at the time, I was doing shows and stuff like that, and I was in one, and I hadn't really been going to meetings, suddenly a glass of wine was in my hand, and it was in my mouth, and I drank again, and I was like, nothing bad really happened. I don't want to spend so much time on this, but so maybe we speed it. We speed it up. That sometimes happens. So I drank again, and it was like, oh, nothing bad really happened, except for that the claw of obsession was back in me. So my best friend, we got sober at the same time. He didn't pick up. It actually kind of strengthened his resolve. But I didn't really start drinking right away. I was just like, oh, I'm okay. Finally, I was like, oh, it was just all those people who told me that I was an alcoholic, and I can do this like a normal person. And slowly, when I finally moved to, I visited New York, loved New York. Nobody asked me how old I was. Nobody asked me if I was in school. And nobody asked me for ID somehow at the time. And I drank like a normal person, and I loved it. And so I moved here really quickly. And when I got here, I concluded my research, and I started drinking, like, with abandon, I guess. I don't know. I ended up all kinds of places. I started getting sick. I don't know. I just, like, have a hangover every day, go to bed spinning every day. And finally, like, I don't know. I got sober actually on my 20th birthday, because I didn't make it through the night before. You know, like the final trip to the emergency room, I got in, you know, like big dramatic thing. I got in the emergency room, and just like every both times I've gotten sober, I'm like, I gotta kill myself. But I was too drunk. You know, I was walking around the city in the winter, trying to find a car to jump in front of, trying to find a subway, and I was still really drunk after they'd let me out, and I just finally went home. And but I called AA, and I went to my first meeting in New York, and life has gotten better ever since. Though it goes through ups and downs. Anyway, this is turning a long thing. But I started going to meetings, and I got a sponsor, and I found a home group, and I did a bunch of things that I was actually resistant to doing the first time that I was sober. I feel like the first time I was sober, it was like very much like heady. And then this time it was really in my guts. And the terror, you know, the terror of the disease is really something, you know. It's like, you know, through a lot of life, it's like the great thing is that, like, I've been able to do, you know, life keeps on changing as long as I stay sober. You know, life keeps on changing through all this time. And, like, I can do anything I want as long as I'm willing to pay the consequences. And, you know, I guess we get sober when we have to or when we get to. One thing I've been really mindful of recently is, like, it's just the basics, actually. I went through a time, like, I mean, where I was, like, not going to as many meetings. I was, like, traveling. I uprooted my life. I was traveling, doing, like, projects and stuff like that. And I just stopped going to as many meetings. And like, really the basics of, like, halt came back to me with a vengeance just a little while ago, you know. So it's like I've been reconnecting with meetings, and it's really great. Like, I find that, like, even, you know, like speaking or coming to a meeting, it's always a surprise what I get. I think, you know, I've got the built-in forgetter that, like, thinks I know. Like, I think I know what I'm gonna get here. I think I know what a meeting's gonna do. I think I know what it's gonna do to share. I think I know what it's gonna do to do the steps, so I don't really necessarily have to do it. But every time I actually do it, every time I come here, every time I sit in the seat, you know, something else happens. And that's really the magic of this. You know, there's always a point in a I love dancing, you know? And I learned how to dance sober. I learned how to talk again sober. When I first got sober, I was like zipped at the lip. And when I talked, it was way back here, so nobody could hear me. And it's really like when my disease is that, like, when I'm in my disease, it's really loud inside. And my life gets smaller and smaller outside. And when I'm in sobriety and in recovery, my world gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's quieter and quieter and mellower inside. And that's really kind of the gist of it. I guess I've gotten that. The relief has come from, like, the steps, the fellowship, you know, really, like, the steps and working with other people. Just, like, one day at a time, trying to be of service to another person. Anyway, I'm grateful. Where are we? Do I really? Okay, I'm trying to be a little too compact.
No, man, go to town.
Go to town? Okay, where do we go? I don't know.
Don't you worry, I got you.
Oh, no, you got me, right? Okay. Sometimes I try to talk, I try to wrap it up a little too fast.
I think you're doing great.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, let's talk about sobriety. It's been a while. It's amazing. The last year has been really wild and a wild time in sobriety. It's like I've had a time for a while. There's that thing like in the first step, like I think in the 12 and 12 where it's like the idea that we can drink like a normal person or that we are like normal people has to be smashed. And I had a period actually in the last couple of years where I was like, I want to be a normal person, you know? And apparently in a lot of ways in my life, like I am, you know? But it's been interesting where that's, you know, led me. No matter what, I haven't had to pick up a drink. And when I came in here, you know, a couple things that people said were like, you don't have to drink today, and you don't have to be alone. And in my recovery, sometimes I've chosen to be alone. You know, and sometimes I look at my phone and I'm like, I got 200 numbers and no one to call. But we never have to be alone. Like, I come to meetings and it's like, this fellowship's amazing, you know. Last year I had there's sometimes really awkward situations. Last year I was in Australia and I was like the host, I was doing this project and my host was like a wine, you know, they're like, it's a vineyard and it's like a vineyard and a museum. And like, there's no, you know, it's like, there's no social, like everyone drinks. Like, usually, it took me getting sober to realize that a lot more people don't drink than I thought. But here, everybody's drinking. And so I was like, I don't. And it was one of those awkward situations. But, because we're like, oh, I just want to disappear. But, I've been able to go anywhere I needed to go without picking up a drink. You know, I've traveled the world. I've danced. I've gone, you know, the obsession has been lifted, and which is something that I couldn't really imagine. When I first got sober, I didn't imagine how anybody in New York could possibly live here without drinking. I couldn't really imagine how I could go on living with drinking, and it was like, kill me now. And that was like early in my sobriety, often that was like, that was something I woke up, I was like, game over, I don't want to play. You know, and one of my favorite slogans when I was early in sobriety is like, if you kill yourself, just like when we got the suicide meeting, if you kill yourself in the first 5 years, kill the wrong guy, you know? And for the first, you know, maybe 3 years, I woke up being like, I want to die, I don't want to play. And then finally, about five years, and I realized that it had been a couple of years since I thought about killing myself. And it's pretty amazing. And you know, sometimes I almost never think about picking up a drink at this point. And a little while ago, I was like, game over. I don't want to play. So it's like, it means it's time to, like, really reconnect. And I've been doing the steps again, which has been really kind of amazing. I just recently did like a third, I just like started with a new sponsor and I got to like the third step and suddenly like it's kind of a trip because in the last couple, like, I don't know, suddenly the phone rings and I'm like, oh, speak. So I'm glad to be of service. I hope that what I'm saying has, let's see. What else do we talk about? I don't know. I've gotten jobs. I've lost jobs. I've done everything. I've lived my whole adult life. I spent my whole 20s sober. And I've made the mistakes. I don't know. At this point, I stay sober because I really want to. You know? Because I really love this. And I love being alive. And I love being conscious. And it's amazing. It's an amazing gift to be able to do this. I'm gonna stop. I want to hear from you guys. I'm like, but anyway, thank you for letting me talk.